Oh, he's hit this one, Miles. Great shot. Oh, it's a biggie. Straight over the top. The little man has hit the big fella for six. He's off his size.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Fourth Seat Podcast. Today we are going to talk cricket once again. So this is going to be a segment for the fourth umpire. I and Aditya are extremely delighted to have members of the North Strand gang of Wankhede once again on our podcast. This week we have Choppy and Farzan from the North Strand gang. Hey guys, how are you doing? We are delighted to have you, Farzan. Choppy, how are you doing?
Good. Glad to be doing this on a Sunday morning. Very excited to be part of a great project that you guys are doing on the Fourth Seat Podcast. Very glad to be here.
Thanks for the kind words, Choppy. Nothing better than talking cricket on a weekend for us. And we also have Addy with us. He will chip in soon. But let's start with the recent cricketing events. So India is touring New Zealand. We had the second ODI conclude today. But before moving to the ODI series, let's start on a more positive note. That would be the 5-0 T20 win that India had against New Zealand. So back to you, Choppy. What would you take from this T20 series win and a massive series win that was? Anything that stood out to you in particular?
I'm one of those who tend to think that we've still not sort of figured out our T20 game perfectly. With respect to strategy and tactics, and if I would be very harsh, I would say that we are still playing T20s as if we are playing a 20 over ODI. But I think 5-0 win sort of goes to prove me a little bit wrong, at least. And for me, what definitely stood out was KL Rahul's batting. And I mean, I've been a big fan of his batting, his clean lines that he executes when he's, hitting either a conventional or an unconventional shot. And I think his batting was really up to the mark in these five matches, or most of these five matches, I would say. And also, I mean, he sort of rolled back the years for us, our generation, by being another Rahul who was doing a great job with the bat and keeping wickets in, conditions which are perhaps not he's not very used to. So, yeah, I mean, for me, if there's one thing that stood out was, his coming up as a force to reckon with in our T20 side.
That's a very nice observation, Choppy. You definitely were recalling some wonderful memories over there. Rahul Dravid keeping wickets just before the 2003 World Cup. And, that was a time that coincided with actually India chasing really well. So that's nice to remember. So Farzan, anything more to add for this five-match or T20 series? Any other performance or any other player that stood out for you?
Hey, hi guys. So coming back to the T20 series, yeah, it was a historic one actually for Team India. First time TC Team Light has defeated an opponent 5-0 in a bilateral T20 series. So agree with Choppy's point, our T20 team is not yet a T20 team, and completely agree that we are actually playing T20s like a 20 overs ODI. So coming to performances, along with Rahul, it's absolutely, he was exceptional, man of the series and everything. With keep-in as well as bat-in as well. Another key moment and key performance which I felt was Navdeep Saini. The reason why I'm seeing Saini is that after a long time, maybe after Bumrah, we have actually seen an Indian pace bowler bowling at a speed of 145 plus on a consistently basis, and at the same time bowling yorkers. So if Bumrah can get a bowling partner like Saini at the start, maybe one or two overs or death may, so I think so it's going to be a big blessing for Team India going into the two T20 World Cups. And another performance I would like to say is that about Shreyas Iyer. Arey yaar, what a what a player. Ustra fan over there after his lofted straight sixes. The way he was like hitting them in that T20 series like was exceptional. So these two performances actually, you know, strike a chord with me, along with KL obviously. And it was a commendable performance from Team India. Yep, that's it.
So I agree with a lot of the points that you guys raised, but I would like to slightly temper my excitement of a final win, because I don't think this final genuinely reflects the state that our T20 side is in right now, because I think the series was a lot closer than what the final would suggest, and New Zealand weren't at full strength also, so they genuinely botched up like three out of those five games. So, but what worked for us was obviously KL Rahul and Navdeep Saini are genuinely good finds. And Rahul especially, being Rahul as the keeper, gives us that one more player which we can slot in. But there are a few things which I do not really agree with, which is like Shardul ka series bahut achha tha, but I cannot really see Shardul being our one of our pace bowling options in Australia on those really flat tracks, man. Sadly, as much as I appreciate the guy for how hardworking he is and what he does with the talent that he has, and he has done a lot in Ranji Trophy cricket over the years and stuff, but I don't see him being our genuine option, especially in the slog overs going into the T20 World Cup. Apart from that, we needed a very close fought series because we don't get to play a lot of those. So on that front, having played all those two super overs and having pulled off that incredible last game, that was a real huge positive for us, because India generally does not play a lot of very close games in bilaterals. We don't get to do that very often. So that was a positive.
One more point I would just like to raise is that just coming to your point, one positive for Team India if it comes from the series was that on some of the matches we batted first and we defended totals, which are not like very huge ones, like say the final T20. So that was a bit positive also, because Kohli has already been emphasis on the point that, you know, we would like to bat first in T20s, because that is a point where actually we need a bit improvement. So from that perspective, yes, that was also one of the positives. And with Shardul, agree that if you're bowling at 120s and 130s in Australia, like, you're going to be smacked right, left and center. So definitely we need to, you know, find somebody with a bit more pace and a bit more accuracy as well.
And just to add to that, on the Shardul point, I'm not sure about the thought process of the team management. If Shardul is being picked for the fact that he can score a few runs batting at number 8, is that the right way to go about it? That is something I want to know from you guys. Like, is that the correct motivation to pick a quick bowler in the first place?
Choppy, you have anything to add to this here?
So, see, about Shardul, I mean, I'm in actually two minds here. I'm not really sure of my thoughts, because while what Aditya says, you know, makes sense to me, do I see him as one of our top three bowlers when it comes to the T20 World Cup in Australia? I don't think so. But I would also tend to say that, you know, he's good to have as a backup in the side, because our top three is going to be Bumrah and Shami and probably Navdeep now, how he's doing. And, you know, I don't know when Chahar is going to make a comeback, having picked up a T20 hat-trick. But I think he's good to have the backup. Batting is also pretty useful. So, having gained all the experience so close to the T20 World, not really sure if we should discard him. But definitely not part of my first playing 11. There, I would completely agree with what I'm saying.
Chalo, badhiya. I think like a true Mumbai cricket fan, we have, you know, showered some praise on our very own Shreyas Iyer. And I completely agree with Farzan's point here that he is a lovely batsman to watch, and I wish to see him play for a long time. And coming back to some criticisms that we showered on Shardul Thakur, I believe, you know, everything that you guys said is a fair point, and he has some work to do.
Definitely. So Shardul, as he rightly mentioned, the thing is that what we can't say, for example, select Thakur only Shardul because he can, you know, store the sets here and there. If you are taking him as a bowling option, he needs to be economical and pick up wickets at the same time. And not just because he can store a, say, 20 of 8 balls or 20 of 10 balls, because actually that is not his role in a T20. You have 6 or 7 good batsmen who can do that part in the T20. If your 5, 6, 7 is top-loaded with good strike rates, you will not need a Shardul Thakur at the end to score those 20 runs. So from that perspective, the team management has to think about some different strategies and come up with some maybe different options.
So, I mean, you raised a good point, right? I mean, do we need a batsman at number 8? And we also have to take into consideration that, you know, Hardik Pandya is undergoing physical therapy and he underwent surgery. So, agar Hardik Pandya wapas aaya, to fir, I mean, where does it leave some of the players? So, you have Jadeja and Shardul Thakur. Perhaps Jadeja has cemented his place to a certain extent, at least for the foreseeable future. But, you know, once Pandya comes back, I mean, I don't know where Shardul Thakur will fit in, because Pandya is now giving you the batting and bowling option. Would you guys agree with this?
Yeah, so, I mean, as I said, I mean, whatever combination you look at, for me, Shardul is definitely not part of the first 11, any venue, any location. But, I mean, he's done well in whatever chances he has got in, I mean, talking about the ODIs also yesterday, what we saw, while, you know, he leaked a few runs at the end, but fielding-wise, bowling-wise, he's, I would just tend to say that if he has gained so much experience now in the last few months in India, abroad, I would keep him in the squad, but definitely not part of my first playing 11, whatever combination you're looking at, whether it is Jadeja in the side, Pandya in the side, a couple of other combinations that are possible. But let's just keep him in the team for the experience he has gained so far.
Just to add to that, this series leaves me very confused in a lot of slots. When Mayuk mentioned all these slots about Hardik Pandya slotting in, Pandya, how much game time will he have going into that World T20? Nobody knows as of yet. Manish Pandey is still a question mark for me, because Manish Pandey isn't the quintessential modern day T20 cricketer that a Josh Butler or a Johnny Bairstow would be for England. So there are still a lot of question marks with the Indian T20 side, and this 5-0 doesn't genuinely answer a lot of it. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, so I think we are being competitively pessimistic here. Even for a 5-0 win, I think there'll be very few fans around the world who'll perhaps, you know, raise so many questions after a 5-0 win. But I see where Aditi is coming from, in the sense that you know, this is almost sounds like deja vu before the 2019 World Cup, where you know, pretty close to the main tournament, we were still unsure. Perhaps it's also a reflection of the riches that we have at our disposal in Indian cricket. But yeah, I mean, what is our main combination? What is our main playing 11? What is, you know, who are the other 5 or 6 who will make up the rest of the squad? Where will people bat? I think at least the batting order seems a little more clear. But yeah, I mean, combination-wise, Pandya, how much game time he'll get? Too many questions to answer before we hit the big tournament in Australia. Yeah.
And poor old Manish, like 10 years ago, Manish Pandey was probably a better fit as a T20 cricketer. But today, probably he's on the more ancient side as a T20 batsman. So, while he's done well in this series, how well were we tested as a batting unit against this current New Zealand bowling attack is another thing which we should always take these results with a pinch of salt.
I think I'll still take Manish Pandey to Australia, if not for anything else. But
as a backup,
a break, and you know, to unleash his brilliant fielding at deep positions. So I'll still take him on the plane to Australia.
I'll just like to talk about one team combination. We are talking about Pandya not getting game time, but I think so he's too good a player not to play a T20 World Cup, given his prowess and given the huge Australia rounds as well. One combination I would like, as for example, if you ask me, like for 6 and 7, your maybe a Hardik Pandya and your Ravindra Jadeja can be a good combination. If both of them can give me good hitting at the end, plus if they can even give me four overs combined with the four other regular bowlers, I think so that will be a job well done. And one more thing which we'll have to take into perspective is Australia having those huge rounds. Jadeja will be a fielding diamond in the at the boundary line as well as at the cover areas, because T20s is all about a good run out here and there. So that just changes the entire momentum.
So one thing we can definitely be sure about is that Kulcha is not going to be a combination in T20s. Like, both of them are not going to fit in. That is something we all probably can see even at this point, right? Both the risks may not be...
So, I mean, Kuldeep, it's been a difficult few months for him. I mean, right after the last IPL, I think he's never come back into his prime, apart from a few performances here and there. And I'm not sure if it is, bowlers who batsmen who figured him out, or it is, him losing his spurt to some extent, or him not having enough variations. But in a sense, you see across the world, wherever he's playing now, batsmen have, had a strategy against him, which in most cases has been to, sort of stay back in the crease and then maneuver him around. And then, once his confidence is not very high, having not taken a wicket in the early overs, I think they then go for the big shots against him. So, I mean, Chahal for me, given how game aware he seems to be all the time, is still someone who's chewing in the 11. Kuldeep, yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree that chances for him look a little tough right now, for more reasons than one, I would.
One thing about Kuldeep, actually. I read an interview on Friday, actually, in Mumbai Mirror. So it seems that there is a shoulder injury which has hurting him since the time he has landed in New Zealand. And maybe the team management has hidden that, or something like that. That was obviously a source, so we can't say how true it was. But definitely, there seems to be some disconnect or something wrong with his bowling right now. Maybe he's trying to bowl it sometimes a bit quicker, sometimes a bit flatter. But yeah, so... hopefully he improves, because he is a good long-term prospect for us.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, Kuldeep Yadav, he's too good a prospect for us to lose. I mean, someone really needs to talk to him, encourage him, and he's a rhythm bowler. So, I think this is a good segue into a fan question. We got a question on Twitter, and because we are talking about team selection, T20, this is an excellent question at this point. The question is... Team India's, and this question is by Sandeep Chaudhary at Sandy Himachal. He asked, Team India's T20 World Cup preparations will be totally based on this year's IPL. So, would you guys agree with this? Ki ye IPL bahut hi zaruri hai, in terms of, finalizing who will play, or is it too early?
So, are you
to
talking
say?
Of a number 7?
I would say the question is basically in general, like IPL will decide key, and some of the slots are not finalized yet. So we have,
I'm just asking, are you talking of jersey number 7?
okay.
I thought that was settled.
I know.
Yeah. I thought that was already settled.
I think podcast to podcast, commentator to commentator, or BCCI official to official, ये vary हो रहा है. But because you raised the point, let's go there. तुम लोगों का क्या ख्याल है? Jersey number 7 में कोई होना चाहिए या नहीं होना चाहिए? क्या वो jersey को retire करना चाहिए?
I think, Farzu, given your fandom for jersey number 7, you should go ahead, definitely.
So all said and done, see, being a huge fan of MS and everything is apart, but definitely, for me, not only MS Dhoni, but none of the performances in just 2 months of IPL can decide your World Cup team. It's like, baki log jo pura 2 saal, 3 saal T20s khel rahe, so what about them? So it's unfair on everybody's part. So from obviously a T20 perspective, you have Rahul, you have Pant, you have Samson in the frame and everything. So jersey number 7 was just a bit of a humor for me, but definitely, yeah, it doesn't seem viable right now. So yeah.
Good point, Farzan, because the thing is, your IPL is happening in March and April, the World Cup is in October, or beech mein to matlab injuries to ho hi sakta, who knows, right? So I think it's too early to say. So that's your answer, Sandy. The answer is probably not. I think the IPL will be important, but I don't think it will be as important as some people think it will be. So on this note, let's conclude this segment. T20 ka hum log ne achha discussion kar liya. There are, but the tour is long and there is a lot more to looking to look for. So we'll just meet you after this segment.
Welcome back, guys. So after that 5-0 high, which definitely didn't seem like a high if you were listening to the way we spoke about it, it was quickly followed by a 2-0, which makes it like three defeats in a row for India against New Zealand in one-day cricket, following the World Cup semi-final, the disappointment last year. So what is it about New Zealand and one-day cricket, guys? We seem to be losing on a losing streak right now. So...
So, I mean, these two one days, if you specifically talk about it, I think we couldn't defend a huge score and then we couldn't chase down a low score. There are certain things that are not clicking in our ODI game, which is very similar to what's not clicking in our T20 game. We're not really clear about how we want to approach situations. Bowling sometimes goes a little astray. Bumrah, you know, while he's back, and that's great to see, I'm not really sure if he's 100% there yet in terms of rhythm and match practice, etc. Yeah, but I mean, in general, one loves to watch cricket in New Zealand. The grounds are amazing and, you know, the crowd is amazing. And I was reading this somewhere that they now call their grounds, you know, boutique grounds, in the sense that they don't really build huge stands, etc. They want to give people the grass bank experience, and 9-10,000 log aa jaye kafi hai unke liye, and which is why the ground that we have here in BK Singh, Mumbai, when we go there for Ranji matches, we call it the New Zealand experience, because there also we don't have like a stand or something to sit. So yeah, I mean, waking up early in the morning and enjoying cricket even in Australia or England or New Zealand for that matter is just like it's childhood revisited all over again.
So anything about this series in particular, like or is it like too pointless to even attach
I tend to think that, you know, this is not the phase where you should be playing ODIs at all. There is no point to it. And while Kohli has received a lot of flack for the very frank and honest comments he made about ODI is not being relevant, I would tend to completely agree with him, in the sense that if you're not going to play an ODI World Cup anytime soon, these bilateral ODIs, you know, sometimes take away the sheen from a good solid tour that you can go for in a country like New Zealand, where you don't go all that often. Actually, we just went last year. But yeah, we could have easily slotted one more solid test match in that period, and that could have made for a even better tour in my mind.
Fazan, your opinion?
Yes. So, completely agree with Choppy's point and Kohli's on the relevance of the ODIs. But one thing also came to my mind was that the lack of crowds in the first two ODIs. Like, if you must have seen the matches, like, they were like 20-30% occupancy levels for the ODIs. So, that also shows, like, the relevance of ODIs from maybe a fan's perspective as well. Obviously, India, where you are going to get full houses in each and every ODI, T20, everything. I'll not say in tests, but from that perspective, yes. So another thing from the performance, if you see from the two team, from the two matches, Bumrah, I'm a bit worried, I'll say, about Bumrah, because the thing is that he's trying to be a little bit within himself. Like, for example, after coming back from such an injury, so he has come back strongly in one of the T20s after that kind of a bashing which he had got. But the thing is that he still, yesterday also, if you see, like, he has, I think, so almost bowled around 12 to 15 wides in the two ODIs, if you see. So that is very uncharacteristically from Bumrah. And the second thing is, I'll say, the position of Kedar Jadhav. Like, for example, as a captain, if you're not going to believe in his bowling at the position which he is in the ODI team right now, and 348 target, like, nothing was happening from the other bowlers, so why not throw one or two overs to Kedar? Like, Kedar was his go-to man as a bowling option before the 2019 World Cup. So from that perspective, if other Kedar is only for a batting perspective, because if other Chase are the 300 ka ho, then if he's coming at 30 for 3, then I think so Kedar is not your man at this point of moment. So yeah, team positions, thora change karna padega ODIs par, but as far as possible, like nothing to be too afraid of, because we are a good ODI team and okay, SA series aate rehte, but obviously so well now.
I mean, you made like two very good points, right? One about Kedar Jadhav and one about Bumrah. I'll come back to Bumrah later on, but sticking on the case of Kedar Jadhav, see, my point is, if Kedar is not utilized for his part-time bowling, I mean, do you think the batting slot should go to any other player who is waiting in the wings? Say, for example, someone like Shubman Gill or even Mayank. Go ahead. Yes.
So, Shubman Gill, I think so. That position for Shubman Gill is very low, to be honest. If you see his batting, he has to be in your top four. Obviously, Ustabi time Aira. So, the thing is that Manish Pandey played a good innings in the T20, one of the T20s. He scored a 50 in that low innings in the first, where I think so the last innings, last T20 where we scored on 160, he had a good innings of 50 odd. So, even Manish Pandey at that position will be better, because even though he doesn't give you a bowling option, but the thing is that he gives you fielding and he gives you some batting depth as well. So, if not a bowling option, then I think so I may go with Manish Pandey as of now. So, yeah. So
right, right.
Some of the compositions which the team management needs to think about, because only Kedar as a batsman at that position, I'm sorry, I don't agree with that.
And also, given that it's a bilateral series, and do you really see Kedar Jadhav fitting into the side in 2023 for the World Cup?
That's a question that
these are the questions that you should be asking, right?
Exactly.
So it's not like what's the best for this series either.
Exactly.
It's not about winning a bilateral series. So one thing which I like about this series is the fact that at least Prithvi Shaw and Mayank Agarwal opened. So it forced us to do something which is different to otherwise what we'd have done, like always opening with Dhawan and Rohit. So while all that might be great for winning bilateral series after series, it doesn't really give you much in terms of the next big ODI tournament, which is 2023.
Exactly.
So just to add to the Bumrah point, I know Mayuk also wants to add on that. So, I feel this year we might see Bumrah being challenged a bit more for the wickets. We might see a phase that we saw with Kuldeep recently. It always happens with bowlers, right? So, when you have this one very big season where you have a lot of wickets, batsmen then tend to be more cautious also. So,
yeah,
you might see him being challenged more. Like, he might not get the same bucket load of wickets going ahead.
I think I'll just open this question to Choppy. Let us get his viewpoint here. So the thing is, I think you very often see a very successful bowler in his first part of his career, you know, he's doing really well, undergoes an injury. The person is like Farzan pointed out, he could be a little bit more cautious. But apart from that, it is also a case of a lot of good batsmen figuring you out. So my question to you, Choppy, is what do you think Bumrah should do to keep being successful, or, you know, keep having that edge that he gives to this Indian cricket team in every format?
So, first of all, I would tend to disagree a little, there, in the sense that I don't think Bumrah is going to struggle in that sense, where, batsmen have figured him out. In the sense that I don't think there is a lot of mystery about him anyway. It's just that the action was a bit unique, which I think even before the injury, people have had enough time around the world to figure him out. I just think it's a question of game time, because there was a plan of making him play a couple of matches before he got back into the side, but then that got shelved and he played a competitive match straight away in New Zealand, which I always think is a terrible, terrible idea. You can bowl your heart out in the nets, but nothing, absolutely nothing can substitute, match play. And even if it is, Kanga League for all I care, you should have someone playing you know, real match play cricket before putting him into the national scene again. You can
broad
if you like, but I don't think that's a good idea. And I would just say that, you know, once he gets his rhythm back, and it's just a question of two or three solid overs, one after the other, where, you know, the ball does a little bit off the pitch, or, you know, he lands his Yorkers perfectly or something like that, and he'll be back. I don't think he needs to do differently, needs to do anything differently. The slower ball is there for him. The Yorker is there for him. The mean bouncer he bowls is still there. He can bowl, you know, solid length all day long. He can even get the ball to probably move around a little bit in the daytime. Reverse swing milega usko. So, kuch change karne ka zarurat nahi hai. Thoda game khelega and Bumrah will be back to his menacing best. That's what my opinion.
Yeah. So for Bumrah, it's just about, in the words of Ishan Sharma in one of his BWC episodes with Gaurav Kapoor, it's just about warming up his tutor.
Right. No, I mean, my point was less of a criticism and more of a concern, because I'm a huge fan. I mean, of Bumrah, and I mean, he's like a once in a generation bowler, and I'm desperate to see him do well every time he's in India colors. So you raised some good points, Choppy. Yeah. So
my only concern, Mike, just to add, my problem was not with him being figured out, but what happens with a lot of very successful bowlers is that batsmen tend to take fewer and fewer risks against you. So that way, wicket taking might become much more difficult for Bumrah. That is what I meant.
Yeah.
Like, not in the sense of like the mystery being figured out.
So I would completely agree with that, Aditya, in the sense that, you know, Bumrah is someone who's like on the radar of all teams now. And, you know, people will be sort of trying to play out his 4 overs or 10 overs or whatever that is and take risks against other bowlers. But, I mean, one would also tend to say that in a full-strength bowling lineup, it's not going to be so easy. Because you have Shami, who's going great guns. Navdeep Saini is coming up in a big way. Our spinners are pretty decent. So, it's not that you have too many other options to, you know, take risks against. While it is working right now because we are sort of trying out options. In a full strength side, I think Bumrah will also have to be taken on, and that is where, you know, by that time he'll also have his rhythm back. I'm very confident of that, and so he's definitely going to do well. I just hope we don't make the same mistake with Pandya, where we, you know, put him in an international match right away, because his bowling action is also something of a worry in terms of, you know, the stress on the back. So I think enough game time before putting people back into the international scene is very, very important.
Yeah, I just have one point here. So with Bumrah, as like Aditya was also mentioning, I don't feel that it's more about batsmen taking less risk, because seeing the sheer brilliance of Bumrah over all these years, like 70 to 80% of his wickets, I believe, have come when people have just wanted to defend him, rather than, you know, try and attack him. So, to be honest, like with everything, he's a two-toed bowler to miss out for too long. So, hopefully, this was just an abbreviation, and we can see our actual original Bumrah in the Test series, which, like, you know, you would be delighted to see. Obviously, his first tour of New Zealand as a Test player and everything. So, yeah, definitely. So, looking forward to that. And the only thing is that one last point I would like to make is that any cricketer, not only Bumrah, like for example, Pandya also, for example, as Choppy rightly mentioned, it's very important that each and every cricketer after an injury gets the credit game time before coming back to international cricket. This can be a lesson going forward from a team management, MCA, all perspectives as well. But it is very important for that particular game time. It can be any list A matches, it can be Ranji domestic, it can be anything. But a good game time is very essential for a player to come back after injury before rushing back to international.
Very nice point, Farzan. I mean, I completely agree with you. I think this is a nice place to start our conversation among, I mean, for two topics or two players that are really close to our heart. And these are the two Mumbai boys in our team right now, two Mumbai batsmen. One is, of course, the opener Prithvi Shaw, and the other is Shreyas Iyer. So, two very different cases. Ek toh Prithvi Shaw, he's coming back from after an injury and also a ban. So things will be new for him. It was like a rough patch for him. On the other hand, you have Shreyas Iyer, who has been around the team for a long time. And finally, you know, he plays some good innings in the T20 series and now he gets a century. So, I mean, I would say for me, the appearance of Prithvi Shaw in the ODI colors and also Shreyas Iyer's century are like two bright spots for me in this first two ODIs, which were otherwise disappointing to me. So, yeah, anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I would just like to say 2 points about both Shaw and Iyer. First, about Shaw. Mm-hmm. Right now, to be honest enough, obviously, Rohit injured and everything, but right now, I can see a good test career ahead for him, Shaw, as of now. Later on, like ODIs, T20 can happen. One thing I'm worried about Shaw right now is his a little bit of deficiency with the incoming delivery, which was exposed yesterday as well. So that is now.
That is
one point I'm worried. So a huge fan of Shaw from all perspectives, but he needs to work about his game where he's facing incoming deliveries, right? Because this is a thing where people will very easily, like, see, when you're new to international cricket, people are going to very easily see the flaws. Ab itna sara technology, itna sara video analysis, like, every team where there are 3 to 4 video analysts happening here and there. So, it's very easy to pick up any flaws. So, from that perspective, that needs to be taken care of. And about Shreyas Iyer, he has been a brilliant batsman. Right from the domestic structure, he has come up that way, so very good. So I'm very happy for his two performances, the 100 and the 50, as well as the T20 performances. But yeah, one thing he'll have to learn is coming in at number 4 in a run chase of 270 to 280. If you have scored a fighting 50, where, you know, other players have been getting dismissed at the other end, if you guys must have seen his dismissal yesterday, in the words of Choppy, if I can say, it was a very tutty shot, because it was a very tutty shot. Yeah. Because that shot at that level we cannot play. So he just needs to work upon that game, because most important thing which guys, any player like Shaw or Shreyas Iyer or Manish Pandey, any of the youngsters can learn from Virat Kohli, is that never be happy and never be satisfied with your 50, 60, 70s. Once you score them, you have to go for the big hundreds. So yeah, so these are my observations for Shaw and Iyer. Obviously,
you're
still a long way to go, but a good start.
Yeah, still a long way to go. Absolutely correct, Farzan. And Choppy, anything else? I mean, the two one-day matches were disappointing. We did lose the game. We were talking about the context of this bilateral series here. Before we wrap up, anything else that you would want to add here?
Yeah, so just one thing that, you know, I wanted to add. There was this beautiful Ian O'Brien article that I was reading about, you know, the two failures that Tim Southee had in the Super Over. And, you know, he mentioned the value of compassion and everything about, you know, how players get ahead of these setbacks that they suffer. And I think what Southee did today was phenomenal. He was bowling wide of the crease, getting the, you know, in deeper to move appreciably. Both Shaw and Virat Kohli that way. And I mean, even as an opposing, it was really a hearty sight, because Southee has been like a great player for New Zealand for quite some time, and to see him do well was very good to see. And I mean, technique-wise, yeah, you can talk about Shaw all day long. His bat, you know, tends to come from gully or even point at times. But I think
right.
That is the way he's going to play. That is the way, you know, he has got all the success and all the reckoning that he has got. I'm not sure if he can change it now or if he can tighten his game a great deal. But I mean, we'll just wait and watch, you know, as to how he shapes up and how international bowlers bowl to him. Under 19 and India is a different level, and international is a different level. So yeah, I mean, Team Saudi, it was very good to see him, you know, get those two wickets, and especially when he was ill, apparently he was not well to begin with, and yeah, it was a great sight to see.
Absolutely. And like you rightly said, wait and watch is something that we will do. I think we spoke about the T20 games and the one-day games. We criticized the Indian team in spite of a fabulous 5-0 performance. I think we made our points valid. And of course, we have expressed our disappointment on the 2-0 loss and certain points on team selection and the players. Overall, I think we covered the limited overs leg of this series pretty well. Once again, I would like to thank Choppy and Farzan, both of you, for joining us for this analysis. And this is a long tour, and let's continue talk this discussion, and let's continue talking about cricket in New Zealand and India's experiences in New Zealand going ahead in the next part.
Oh, he's hit this one, Miles. Right shot. Oh, it's a biggie. Straight over the top. The little man has hit the big fella for six. He's off his size. Two balls to go.